All right, back here on the Big Show, it is indeed the kickoff of Patriots Monday. You know what we do every Monday here on the Big Show. We sit around, we talk a lot of football, and we talk with the coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, who joins us live on the phone line right now from Foxborough. Mr. Belichick, how are you today?
Good, Glenn. How about yourself?
We're doing great.
Hey, Glenn.
So,
hey, Bill.
Fred, Pete, how you doing?
I know you haven't heard me before.
Fred was afraid that you forgot him.
No, hell no. I couldn't do that.
I could.
Ossie's still on vacation? I mean, what's this?
Big O's punishment.
He's on punishment. We got him on suspension.
Okay.
A couple days. You know how that works.
Glenn,
you do
can
that,
be really mean.
You do that every once in a while, don't you?
Yeah, it's just, you know, the season started, Patriots Monday, you know. I thought he was one of our go-to guys. Well, you with us, Lou?
Pretty good. I'm just filling in for him, you know. Nothing crazy.
I keep looking over. I see half of D'Ossie, and it's Lou.
Now, why do you have to pick on D'Ossie's weight?
I'm not picking on him. He was a little pissed off. He texted me 72 times. Why am I on?
He's out sunbathing right now.
Hey, Bill, is any of this preseason changed in the way you approach it? Do you still look at game? Is game three still considered the game in which coaches really kind of look at it more of a real game situation?
I think all the games are probably about the same from a strategic standpoint. I think, you know, you got to think about your players and getting their conditioning levels and their game conditioning levels up. And so if you extend the playing time a little bit from game one to game two to game three, then that's one way of doing it. Or, I mean, there's a lot of different ways of doing it, but I think one thing about the third game is you might want to get some extended playing time for guys that you think are going to be playing more in the regular season and, you know, for that game, you know, kind of getting them in game shape. But I don't know that that's necessarily a must. I know they're, you know, great players. And we've had a lot of players. You know, Randy Moss 2 years ago didn't play in preseason, caught 25 touchdowns. So I don't think that's, you know, a necessity. Or Emmett Smith didn't play in a lot of preseason games, Barry Sanders. And so there's a lot of different ways to get it done with depending on the circumstances and so forth. But I would think that this week, some players will play, you know, a substantial amount for, you know, both us and the Redskins. You'll probably see that around the league.
Hey, Bill, a lot of talk's been made about the 4-3. You guys run a little bit more 4-3 this year than previous years. Is it that much more? I know you guys are doing some overs and unders and bringing the outside backers down with Burgess being out there as a defensive end or an outside linebacker. But have you ran a lot more 4-3 or similar to the last couple of years?
Well, as you know, Fred, we're kind of a multiple defensive team. We have, you know, different formations and looks. So we put them in training camp, and we work on them in the preseason, and then the ones that we want to use for our regular season opponents based on, you know, what we feel like is best for that particular week, then that's what we go to. So we've run both, and we'll continue to run both. But on a week-to-week basis, it may change based on what we feel is best, or, you know, sometimes it's a depth issue as well.
Because it seems like you have a plethora, I love that word, of defensive linemen in there, because you have a lot of horses that play in pretty good two-gap and seem to be very active. The defensive lineman.
What's that word mean, Fred?
I don't know. Glenn just wrote it down on a piece of paper.
Don't ask him to spell it.
I think it means
either.
A wicked lot.
A lot.
Thanks, Pete.
Don't ask him to spell it.
Well, look, it's certainly something that we've invested some time in, and feel like we have players that have a chance to be able to play in that scheme, and we just want to get some looks at it and evaluate it and see where we think we are. I think we all have confidence that we can go out and play the 3-4. And so if we're gonna work on it, you know, now's the time to do it, and not try to throw it into a regular season situation when we just haven't had the reps on it. So
how much of your defense?
We'll continue to work on it in preseason. You'll see it the last couple games too.
How much of your defense, though, Bill, in the course of a game, is dictated on what your offense is doing? 2 years ago, you get big, huge leads in the game because your offense is throwing the football all over the place. The other team's got to come out and throw the football, so you're in passing situations on a regular basis.
Well, that's a nice situation to be in. I don't think you ever can count on that, but you hope it works out that way. Just like your four-minute offense at the end of the game where you're running out the clock, you hope it ends up that way, but you can't really count on that. So you know, I've always looked at football as kind of a, you know, three quarters game. You know, through the first, second, and third quarter, you can, for the most part, usually stick to your game plan or adjust your game plan if your opponents are doing something a little bit different. But the fourth quarter is really dictated more by situation. And whether you're ahead or you're behind, or you know how many possessions you have left, and kind of what you know what's transpired over the first three quarters that you know has really you know now kind of dictates what you feel like you need to do, you know, in the last two or three possessions that you have or that they have. So, you know, I think that fourth quarter is very very much a situational game, whereas the first three quarters are probably more reliant on your actual game plan.
Coach, you know, the last few years now, you've had some experience in the defensive backfield. Rodney is gone. You had Asante Ellis. A lot of younger guys back there. How much do you enjoy seeing a development of a guy like Brandon Merriweather and all those guys coming together?
Oh, well, it's you know, I enjoy working with all the players. It's certainly fun to work with the young ones and watch, you know, some of our young players improve and evolve. Merriweather and, you know, Will Height last year. Guys like that, and then you know we've got a couple more this year with Chung and Love and Butler. So you know it's great to work with them and see them improve. It's also really a lot of fun to work with veteran players that you know have a lot of experience, can do a lot of different things, really understand the game and what you're trying to do, and a lot of times they're thinking kind of like you are in terms of making adjustments or, you know, creating a scheme that's something we could really take advantage of. And so, you know, players like Sean Springs and James Sanders and guys like that that, you know, have been through a lot of football with us and you know, Bodden's another very experienced player that, you know, you can do a lot of things with because they've, you know, they really have good instincts and they've seen a lot and, you know, they know the ups and downs of and the pluses and minuses of different strategies and techniques.
Hey, Coach, I know tight end is a position that a lot of us in the media are looking at, and, you know, Ben Watson was out there today. You guys practiced in full pads. How did he look today, and how much playing time is he going to get on Thursday or Friday?
Ben was out there today. He's missed a little bit of time. We'll have to evaluate him. We had a couple other players come back in the last couple days as well. You know, Paris and Mike Wright and guys like that that have been – you know, out for a couple of days. So we'll have to evaluate them and see how much we feel like they're ready to do for the weekend. So, you know, hopefully they'll all be able to play and, you know, get a decent amount of playing time in. But I think that's still kind of conditional on how things go here in the next couple of days. And we'll try to, you know, put them through the paces and see how everybody holds up. And then, you know, based on that, make our decision, you know, probably Wednesday night on, you know, how we're going to handle the playing time on Friday.
Speaking of old-timers, how's Bruschi holding up? I watched the game. He seemed to be making nice entries in some of the plays. He made some nice reads and cut down some of the backs and you know, on the holes when they were running it. Is he holding up pretty well in camp?
Yeah, he is, Fred. And, you know, he's always been able to do that. He's very instinctive in the running game and just kind of knows where the ball is. And, you know, he brings a good energy to the field and to our team. You know, he's always got that, you know, that little spark, and he loves the game and he loves being out there and you know, he's working hard. He's doing a good job and you know, he loves to play.
You know, Bill, you brought that point up that he has instincts because some of the reads he made, he just slid it in there and he didn't even notice it. Obviously now I have that TiVo thing that goes back and forth. And he was under hitting guys
You know how to use it now?
My kids taught me how to use it. It's great stuff. I just learned. But he made some – you wouldn't – if unless you saw it in slow motion, he would be cutting in there and making nice entries and hitting guys in the legs and taking them out. But that's something that you wouldn't see in full speed. You obviously see that. But his instincts to get right into where the ball is pretty amazing.
It is. It's very good. And it's interesting. I've coached a lot of linebackers in my career and talk to them about, you know, what they see and how they, you know, how they read different plays. And it's interesting, a lot of times they can't really tell you exactly what they saw or how they knew it. They just knew it. And you know, I think that's really the ultimate in being an instinctive player where you know what to do. Sometimes you can't even put your finger exactly on what it is that triggered it, but there was something about the – the angle of a block or the tempo of the play or just the way that the back was, you know, just the pace that he was at that kind of led you to think, hey, something's up here. You know, he's going to cut it back or, you know, it's this play or it's that play. And Teddy has the ability to do that, you know, draw plays, things like that, where literally they sometimes those good linebackers, they just sniff them out.
Hey, Bill, so much was made of the Wildcat last year, and people obviously on draft day noticed that you drafted Julian Edelman, a option quarterback who you projected as a wideout. Would you ever use a Wildcat, the similar, an option type of situation with somebody like that or somebody else with this football team?
Oh, I don't know. I think, Glenn, right now, that's not why we drafted him. You know, we drafted him to be a receiver and to – you know, work as a returner and see how all that turns out. And he's done a good job of that. And, you know, how things go down the line, you know, I don't think there's probably too many plays where we want to take the ball out of Brady's hands and give it to somebody else unless it's a running play. So, I mean, I'd never say never, but that's not at the top of my list right now.
I'm surprised to see a quarterback, because usually they're back there, you know, defensive, and when he's running the ball, I would have swore that you clone Wes Welker, because the guy has those same instinctive moves he's making going upfield and not fearing getting hit. He doesn't pitter-patter. He's always gaining ground, which is pretty remarkable for a quarterback to do that, catching a ball or catching punts.
It really is, Fred. He's made a good transition to the position, not only with the ball in his hands, but also as a route runner and recognizing blitzes and making route adjustments when – you know, when they have too many guys blitzing and we have to get the ball off and he has to change his route and things like that, Julian's is a smart player and he's picked things up very quickly and you know, all that's pretty unusual. A lot of times you have guys who are receivers that have been receivers for their whole lives and you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years in college, whatever it is, and they have trouble with those adjustments. And here you have a guy who's never been on that end of it. He's been on the other end of it, the passing end, but hasn't been on the receiving end of it, and he's been able to make those adjustments very quickly. So it's been impressive.
You know, when he started the game, the biggest thing that surprised me is he seemed to know the plays that quickly. I mean, it's a rookie kid coming in and to pick up the game plan to be able to go out there with the first team. It seems like he learned it very quickly.
He did. He's an intelligent kid. He works hard. He's really very diligent in trying to learn his assignments and pick everything up. I mean, he's still got a long way to go and a lot of little things to learn and techniques that he can be more, you know, proficient at. But he's come a long way, and so we'll just keep plugging along here and see where it ends up. But you know, he's made a lot of progress and he's certainly going in the right direction. He's a great kid to work with.
Hey, Bill, when you go into a season like this, a preseason, some of the players were talking about how you were doing things. They noticed things were a little bit different this year and that you went in with 2-a-days for, 9 days or something like that. Was there a significant reason? Do you go into a season based on what happened last year or the way that you felt the players approached it last year in which you feel you've got to alter the way you're going to approach it this year?
Well, not necessarily, Glenn, but I do think you know, each year you consider your team and whatever the circumstances are that surround that team, and then you try to do what's best. I felt like last year in the preseason, the 4 games, we really, you know, we weren't really competitive in any of the games. I mean, by halftime, we were, you know, pretty far behind in most all the games. You know, to be that far back even at the half is, you know, just really wasn't even competitive. So, you know, I felt like we had to do something to kind of address the overall competitiveness, because one of the things you want out of the preseason games is to be able to, you know, work on situations and be in close games and you know, have those types of experiences. And we weren't able to achieve that. We could never make the game close enough to where there was any kind of meaningful situation. So, you know, it's one of the goals in preseason was just, you know, to be competitive in the games.
And one of the things, of course, we're watching is Tom Brady's progress. And it looks like he's making the right read quickly, but it looks like his touch is a little bit off. I mean, obviously you can elaborate on that. And it looked like he was a little bit not as smooth delivering the ball. You know, Randy Moss's overthrow and Welker a couple of times. Is that a fair assessment of how he's been progressed to this point?
Well, Fred, you got a lot of critiquing on the quarterbacks for a nose guard.
Well, actually, Coach, I was a quarterback as a child, but no one recognized it.
Bill, trust us.
A 300-pound eighth grader, you're not going
to trust us. He keeps his eyes glued to Brady during these games. Don't worry about that.
Well, you know, we've only been in camp 3 weeks here, two preseason games, and we all have a lot of things we need to work on. I don't think anybody's on the team, or probably anybody in the league for that matter, is, you know, at the top of their game in midseason form or anything else. And a big part of particularly the passing game is working with, you know, people and getting used to timing and their, you know, their speed and their breaks and, you know, all those kind of things. And you know, when you're working with a lot of different, you know, players at those positions, which we have been, different quarterbacks, different combinations of receivers against, the same thing on defense, all different combinations in there. You know, the timing and the anticipation and the execution isn't, you know, as sharp as what it'll be later on in the year, hopefully. So that's, you know, that's something that we all have to work on and get down a little bit. So I don't think it's any different for a quarterback or a corner or a receiver or a couple offensive linemen or, you know, the run defense or anything else. There's still a lot of work to do, you know, on everybody's part.
Coach, you know, that backfield's awful crowded back there. We saw a lot of Fred Taylor last week. He looked real good. You got to feel pretty comfortable knowing you got a bunch of different guys back there, different looks, matching up the different defensively with different teams. But overall, just like last year, I mean, a crowded backfield's a good one, I would think.
Well, the good thing about our backs is that they've all been productive, and they have different playing styles and running styles and maybe receiving skills and all that, but the bottom line is they've all been productive, and that's what's really important is you give those guys the ball and they gain yards and score points. So I think it's a good, you know, kind of a good group of guys, a good combination of different running and pass catching styles, and you know, we got some power guys, we got some speed guys, we got some quick guys. You know, we have a fairly experienced group that where everybody kind of knows what they're doing and blitz pickup and situational football and different formations and things like that. So I think we've been able to move along pretty quickly there. I think that Coach Ivan Fierce has done a good job with them, and they work well together. They complement each other. They help each other out, and really it's a great group to work with.
Talking about critiquing, a lot of people have watched Lawrence Maroney and seem to have their own issues with Maroney and his lack of production. First of all, he seems to be healthy right now, and that obviously is a big factor. What do you expect? What are you looking for from Lawrence Maroney out there? What does he bring that you see or you need to see here?
Well, I think Lawrence brings a lot. I think he's one of our, you know, one of our better football players, and you know, he's very improved tremendously in the passing game in the last two off seasons, and you know, he's much more accomplished as a receiver than he was when he got here. I think he's a good runner with good vision, good speed, good power, and good quickness. And I don't have any doubt that he's going to make a lot of yards if we can get him started. And that's, you know, something collectively with the game planning and the blockers in front of him and, you know, the whole execution of the running game that, you know, I hope will really come, you know, come into its own here in the next, you know, this week, but really in the next few weeks. And you know, we had a very good year running the ball last season, and, you know, Lawrence unfortunately wasn't able to have as many opportunities as, you know, we or he would have liked, but he's really in good condition this year. He's worked hard in the off season. He's ready to go, and, you know, I hope we can set up some situations where he really has an opportunity to, you know, to get some space and show his running skills, because he's got them, and he's tough and he runs hard, and, you know, he does everything we ask him to do. So, you know, I'm sure that when his opportunity comes, he'll be ready for it.
He's one of those rare guys. I mean, he has the size. What's he, about 230? And he can take the ball outside too. When he gets in that secondary, he can break it for a touchdown. We've seen that, you know, in the playoffs in the past. And people don't realize how big and fast? What's he have, 4'3", 40 and 230?
He's about a little over, I'd say 220, 225, right in that range, and he's plenty fast enough. I mean, speed's not an issue with Lawrence. He can run well, and he's a strong runner. You know, he's also had some experience returning kickoffs. You know, he did a good job in the Jacksonville game for us on that a couple years ago. So, you know, he can do a lot of different things, and good with the ball in his hands. We just got to, you know, get it to him and get it to him with some space, hopefully.
Coach, you know, I have to ask you because Rex Ryan is absolutely killing me up in New York. I think he's having a lot of fun with the media up there. When you hear comments like that, I mean, you just kind of chuckle and laugh and take it for what it is. I mean, I would think because it just sounds like he's up there just having fun with these guys.
Yeah, well, I think we all, you know Rex's personality and his style and all that. But right now I'm a lot more concerned about our football team and trying to get our team ready to play better than we did against Cincinnati and get the team ready to play well in the opener against Buffalo and the 15 regular season games after that. So, you know, we'll see the Jets a couple times this year. We've always had a great battles with them, and sure it won't be any different this year. But right now, you know, that's not really our main focus. It will be at one point, but we got a lot of other stuff to do between now and when we see them.
I personally can't hate the Jets anymore, so it doesn't matter what they say.
I circled week two about a month ago. I circled week two a month ago. I'm very much looking forward to that game.
Yeah, forget the Jets. They're dead to me.
Before I let you go, I got to ask you this question because they had the cameras on the sideline of your Cincinnati game this past week, all for that HBO show Hard Knocks. Have they ever approached you about your team being on? I'd like to hear the reaction. Did they actually say, hey, Bill, would your team be interested in being on this show?
We haven't. No, we haven't had that. And
they haven't approached you at all?
Well, Steve Sable of NFL Films, you know, has captured some stuff. You know, we've had some... You know, some things with them. I mean, they do that every year with every team. But, you know, that's we've done some of that. But the whole Hard Knocks thing, no, not really.
I just can't see you doing that. I just
do you watch the show? Do you ever watch it?
I've seen a couple. You know, over the years, I've seen a couple different episodes, but no, I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm a regular viewer.
I've never seen the show.
I have, and I frequently ask myself, "Oh my God,
oh, yeah. Why would they let them in there?"
I just can't.
I mean, I love that somebody else is doing it, but
I was going to say, I just could never see them miking you up and your entire practices, and you know, it seems to me like they're just getting a little too intimate. If I'm a coach.
Warm and fuzzy stuff.
Where does that help me out? I'm not sure that helps me out. I mean, unless you're looking for attention. And the way you dress on the sidelines, I don't think you're looking for attention.
Coach, real quick, after that game against Cincinnati.
Compliments on that one.
Yeah, they're copying it in Denver now.
Hey,
yeah.
Coach, after that, after that Cincinnati game, did Randy Moss come up to you and say, hey, Coach, I can kick field goals?
He could. I think he could. I'm glad we weren't in that situation, but... I think he probably could.
That seems like a weird...
We know he can play basketball.
Yeah.
That seems like a funny relation. You and Chad Johnson seem to have a good friendship together. I mean, he loves you, and you're always talking about how well, and you say you appreciate his desire to play, but he kind of seems a little more outgoing. I mean, I'm flamboyant.
Yeah, Chad's real competitive. He loves football. He has a lot of fun. We were out at the Pro Bowl, and he... You know, he had a lot of fun on the practice field. He, you know, he'd yell over at the defensive backs, you know, you can't cover me. And then he'd tell him what route he was going to run. And, you know, I'm going to come down, I'm going to run an in cut, and you still can't cover me. And, you know, and they just, you know, go at it in a real competitive way, but in a good way, you know, in a fun way. And that's, you know, I think you love to see that on the football field. Some players really have a, you know, unique way of, you know, doing that, of playing hard but still having a lot of fun. Lawrence did that as well. So,
What would you do if he were on your team and he issued a press release at halftime?
I don't know. think about that one.
Yeah. You'd probably start him on his boxing career quicker.
Tweet. Ask him not to do that.
Please don't do that, Ocho.
Tweeting in the third quarter, Bill. Yeah, that would work.
Hey, but Glenn, getting back to the whole sideline attire thing, did you see the ESPN ad on that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, you might want to check it out.
What did they do? New stuff?
You just check it out.
Pete's checking it out right now.
I'll check it out. We'll talk about it next week. How's that? All right?
All right. Sounds good.
We'll include it next week. Good talking to you, Bill.
Don't ban Diossi anymore.
Yeah. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, fellas.
See you, Bill.
See you later.